भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 22, entitled The Orbits of the Planets. We'll go through first 7 verses. First is a chapter summary. In this chapter, the orbits of the planets are described according to the movements of the moon and other planets. All the inhabitants of the universe are prone to auspicious and inauspicious situations. This is referred to as the influence of the stars. The sun god, who controls the affairs of the entire universe, especially in regard to heat, light, seasonal changes and so on, is considered an expansion of Narayan. He represents the three Vedas, Rig, Yajur and Sama, and therefore he is known as Trayimaya, the form of Lord Narayan. Sometimes the sun god is also called Surya Narayana. The sun god has expanded himself in 12 divisions, and thus he controls the 6 seasonal changes and causes winter, summer, rain and so on. Yogis and karmis following the Varnashrama institution who practice Hatha or Ashtanga Yoga or perform Agnihotra sacrifices worship Surya Narayana for their own benefit. The demigod Surya is always in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana, residing in outer space, which is in the middle of the universe between Bhuloka and Bhurloka. The sun rotates through the time circle of the zodiac, represented by 12 rashis or signs, and assumes different names according to the sign he is in. For the moon, every month is divided into 2 fortnights. Similarly, according to solar calculation, a month is equal to the time of the sun spent in one constellation. 2 months constitutes 1 season, and there are 12 months in a year. The entire area of the sky is divided into 2 halves. Each represents an ayana, the course traversed by the sun within a period of 6 months. The sun travels sometimes slowly, sometimes swiftly, and sometimes at moderate speed. In this way, it travels within the 3 worlds, consisting of the heavenly planets, the earthly planets and outer space. These orbits are referred to by great learned scholars by the name Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Idavatsara, Anuvatsara and Vatsara. The moon is situated 100,000 yojanas above the rays of the sun. Day and night on the heavenly planet and Pitraloka are calculated according to its waning and waxing. Above the moon, by a distance of 300,000 yojanas, are some stars. And above these stars is Shukra Graha, Venus, whose influence is always auspicious for the inhabitants of the entire universe. Above Shukra Graha, by 200,000 yojanas, is Buddha Graha, Mercury, whose influence is sometimes auspicious and sometimes inauspicious. Next, above Buddha Graha, by 200,000 yojana, is Angaraka, Mars, which almost always has an unfavorable influence. Above Angaraka, by another 200,000 yojana, is the planet called Brihaspati Graha, Jupiter, which is always very favorable for qualified Brahmanas. Above Brihaspati Graha is the planet Shanishchara, Saturn, which is very inauspicious. And above Saturn is a group of 7 stars occupied by great saintly persons who are always thinking of the welfare of the entire universe. These 7 stars circumambulate Dhruvaloka, which is a residence of Lord Vishnu within this universe. So we'll read the verse. It's not a verse actually, a prose. We need to increase the size, I can. Verse 1. यजुवाच यतेतद् भगवता आदित्यस्य मेरुं ध्रुवं च प्रदक्षिणेन परिक्रमन्तो राशीनाम् अभिमुखं प्रचलितं च प्रदक्षिणं भगवतो पवर्णितम् अमुष्य वयं कथम् अनुमिमि महति। Raja Vacha, the King Maharaj Parikshit inquired, yet, which, etat, this, Bhagavataha, of the most powerful, Adityasya, of the sun Surya Narayan, Merum, the mountain known as Sumeru, Dhruvam, Cha, as well as the planet known as Dhruvaloka, Pradikshanena, by placing on the right. So when you hear Pradikshanena, it is basically circumambulation, what we do. So that's always called as the right. Parikramataha, which is going around. Rashina, the different signs of the zodiac. Abhimukham, facing towards. Prachalitam, moving. Cha, and. Pradakshinam, placing on the left. Bhagavata, by your lordship. Upavarnitam, describe. Amushya, of that. Vayam, we the hearer. Katham, how. Anumi, me mahi. Can accept it by argument and inference. Iti, thus. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, my dear Lord, you have already affirmed the truth that the supremely powerful sun god travels around Dhruvaloka with both Dhruvaloka and Mount Sumeru on his right. So that is talking about the pradakshina, the clockwise circumambulation. Now, yet at the same time, the sun god faces the signs of the zodiac and keeps Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on his left. So this is talking about the anti-clockwise rotation of the sun. How can we reasonably accept that the sun god proceeds with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on both his left and right simultaneously? So basically, the two motions are mentioned in Bhagavata. The sun is rotating in clockwise direction around Sumeru and also in the anti-clockwise direction. So here we can appreciate Parikshit Maharaj, he is very intelligent. So he's asking, you know, how can you understand this, these two kinds of movements? Verse 2. Sahovacha yatha kulala chakrena brahmata saha brahmamatam tad ashrayanam pipiligadinam gadir anyaiva pradarsha andareshvapi upalabhyamanatvat evam nakshatra rashibhir upalakshitena kala chakrena dhruvam merum cha pradakshinena paridhavata saha paridhavamananam tat ashrayanam suryadinam grahanam gadir anyaiva nakshatra ratrantare rashyantare chopalabhyamanatvat. The second verse, Sri Sukadeva Goswami clearly answered, when a potter's wheel is moving and a small ant located on the big wheel are moving with it, one can see that their motion is different from that of the wheel because they appear sometimes on one part of the wheel and sometimes on another. Similarly, the signs and constellation with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on the right move with the wheel of time, and the ant-like sun and another planets move with them. The sun and planets, however, are seen in different signs and constellations at different times. This indicates that their motion is different from that of the zodiac and the wheel of time itself. So that is the answer to the question, but this all need explanation. Otherwise it can be a bit complicated. Verse 3. Sa esha bhagavan adipurusha eva sakshan narayano loganam swastya atmanam त्रयीमयं कर्म विशुद्धि निमित्तं कविर् अपि च वेदना विज्ञास्यमानो द्वादशतः विभज्य षष्ठु वसन्तादिषु ऋतुषु यथाप जोषा मृदुगुणान् विदधाति. The original cause of the cosmic manifestation is Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana. When great saintly person, fully aware of the Vedic knowledge, offered prayers to the Supreme Person, he descended to this material world in the form of the sun to benefit all the planets and purify fruitive activities. He divided himself into 12 parts and created seasonal forms beginning with spring. In this way, he created the seasonal qualities such as heat, cold, and so on. Verse 4. तम एवं इव पुरुषास्त्रय विद्यया वर्ण वर्ण वर्णश्रमाचार अनुपथा उच्चवचेहि कर्मभि आम्नातैहि योग विदानैस्त श्रद्धया यजन्तो अञ्जसा श्रेय समाधि गच्छन्ति. According to the system of four varnas and four ashrams, people generally worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana, who is situated as a sun god. With great faith, they worship the Supreme Personality as a super soul according to the ritualistic ceremonies handed down in the three Vedas, such as Agnihotra and similar higher and lower fruitive acts. And according to the process of mystic yoga, in this way, they very easily attain the ultimate goal of life. Verse 5. Adasa esha atma loganam doya abrithiyo andarena nabho valayasya karajakragado dvadasha masan bhunte rashi satyan samvastara avayavan masa pakshadvayam divanaktam cheti sabadarshagam dvayam upadishanti yavata shashtam amsham bhunjita savairtu idi उपदिश्यते संवत्सरावयवः. The sun god, who is Narayan or Vishnu, the soul of all the worlds, is situated in outer space between the upper and lower portions of the universe. Passing through the 12 months on the wheel of time, the sun comes in touch with 12 different signs of the zodiac and assumes 12 different names according to those signs. The aggregate of those 12 months is called Samvatsara or an entire year. According to lunar calculation, two fortnights, one of the waxing moon and the other of the waning from 1 month. One of the waxing moon and the other of the waning from 1 month. That same period is one day and night of the planet Pitruloka. According to stellar calculation, a month equals 2 1/4 constellation. When the sun travels for 2 months, a season passes, and therefore the seasonal changes are considered parts of the body of the year. Verse 6. Atacha yavatathena nabho vidhiyam pracharatitam kalam ayanam achakshate. Thus the time the sun takes to rotate through half of outer space is called one ayana, or its period of movement in the north or in the south. Verse 7. Atacha yavannabho mandalam saha dyav abhrithayoho mandalabhyam kasyena saha bhunjitatam kalam samvatsaram parivatsaram idavatsaram anuvatsaram vatsaram idi bhanor mandya shaikhya sama gadhvi samamananti. It's also a very important one. And reads real explanation. The sun god has three speeds, slow, fast and moderate. The time he takes to travel entirely around the sphere of heaven, earth and space at these three speeds is referred to by learned scholars by the five names Samvatsara, Parivatsara, Idavatsara, Anuvatsara and Vatsara. Purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. According to solar astronomical calculations, each year extends 6 days beyond the calendar year. And according to lunar calculation, each year is 6 days shorter. Therefore, because of the movements of the sun and the moon, There is difference of 12 days between the solar and lunar years. As the samvatsara, parivatsara, idavatsara, anivatsara and vatsara passes by, two extra months are added within each 5 years. This makes a sixth samvatsara. But because that samvatsara is extra, the solar system is calculated according to the above five names. So this is 7 verses. 7? Yeah, we had done 7. Om Jnana Devrantasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadarupyasya Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahatbhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shedeya Damusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Atmaka Sorangrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi Me Hare Krishna. In today's presentation, we will need the slides. So if you don't watch the slides which are projected in YouTube, you won't be able to understand. It is already a bit technical topic, so it's not very easy to understand. So I will start explaining. So for that, just to give a brief background, there are some difficult portions that we can find in Srimad Bhagavatam in this particular canto. And in particular, we are dealing with the movement of the sun. Because the last chapter was movements of the sun. And the beginning of this chapter is also exactly dealing with the movements of the sun. And that's where we will deal with a basic understanding of the universe. I will not cover that which has already been covered. Then, how can we understand the changed day and night formed according to Vedic cosmology? We will try to understand the seasonal change according to Vedic cosmology. Similarly, the change of the seasons and the variable speed of the sun. Because these are the issues we are dealing with here. And also the clockwise and anti-clockwise movement of the sun around Mount Meru. So these are the issues that we are going to deal with. So it's not an exhaustive presentation. I will try to explain a few things which could make sense. So it is not very easy even to understand the basics. It's a little bit involved, but I will make it as simple as possible. Okay. Hare Krishna. So to start with, this is about the movement of the sun. Here, This is the Mount Meru and the Vashas, etc. you can see in the background. First, I would like to give a brief introduction by saying that in this world, from a scientific perspective, most of the things are unknown. We tend to think that, and people tend to believe that, according to science, we know a lot about the universe. However, this notion is completely misplaced. To illustrate that, I will present this image from NASA. It turns out that roughly 68% of the universe is dark energy. So they know that there are a lot of energy in the universe which is unidentified. Don't know where it's come from. So that is 68%. And dark matter makes up to 27%. The rest, everything on Earth, everything ever observed with all of our instruments, all normal matter adds up to less than 5% of the universe. So this is a rough calculation. So there can be a little bit up and down, you can see the numbers, but that really doesn't matter. So to be very specific, the matter that we know, it's only 4.6% of this universe according to science. So we can understand the amount of ignorance that we are dealing with. And even in this 4.6%, it's very difficult to understand. So please don't think that according to science, everything is unknown, or even what we can see, that is known to a very limited degree, and there are close to 95% which is unknown, that is accepted by the scientists. So that is called dark energy and dark matter. So this is just to give a brief intro. Now, just briefly going through the scientific models. I am bringing the scientific models because in today's presentation we will be using different models. So here, just presenting what is a scientific model. Scientific models are approximations of the reality ported into a current mathematical paradigm. So I'll explain what is the first phrase I have given. So we had to explain something. So bring a simple tool to explain that. For example, if you want to explain the movement of the sun, I'm telling, okay, sun is moving around the earth. Then make a simple model. Okay, there's a circle. You put one dot here, you rotate. And then you know what is the radius, you know the circumference, etc. It's a simple model. So models are approximations of the reality ported into current mathematical paradigm. What we can understand, just port it. And the realities are hypothesized, perceived, and analyzed and verified as the parameters of the model. So, for example, if you are considering rotation, we know there is a diameter, there is a radius, there is a speed. So, if you are talking about a motion of Earth or Sun, either way you look, we make our simple model and we analyze the parameters of our model and be satisfied. So it is not exactly the reality, but it is only an explanation of the reality. If I say, okay, I know the radius, I know the speed, so I can represent, but that's not the reality. It's only a representation. And not as the objective reality in itself, because models cannot give objective reality. Nonetheless, models may benefit explanation of observation within a certain degree of accuracy. So that's why we have models. Now, why I am bringing in models, Bhagavatam also talks about models. So if you want to just analyze a little bit of Bhagavatam presentation, we had to get into the models. So I dig this presentation out, which I did maybe 6 years back during my Bhakti Vaibhav. I had to give a presentation. So today, last night, I was looking for this presentation and I found it. That was good. So that I could present it now. But I had to still read it. And I had to go through the notes to remind me myself, you know, what's really going on. So I don't know how far I can present. Anyway, let's try. So this is about the models. And now, cosmological tools to consciousness. So here, it is presenting some higher realities. The Vedic cosmological model presents a universe from the perception of a highly developed conscious beings and who were not equipped with any of the current cosmological tools. So they were writing about the whole cosmology, not using the current tools. They had their own vision and they had their own perspective. And many of the presentations are from the heavenly realm. So that makes it a little difficult. What they see and what we perceive from our instruments are completely different. So it is actually indicative of a higher consciousness. So there are people with higher consciousness. Without these cosmological tools, they could understand all these kind of things. The Vedic cosmological model elucidates the practical observation we find in the sky, such as movement of the sun, moon, stars, etc., and their effects on the earth, such as day and night, seasons, eclipses, phases of the moon, etc., that demand explanation. So, Vedic model is very simple. What we are seeing from the earth, that is explained. Naturally, it has to be a geocentric model. Because it doesn't really matter what we see from the sun, because we are not seeing from the sun. So, according to Vedic literature, what is the whole point in presenting a heliocentric model, after all? Because it is useless for us. For example, if you want to calculate the season, we calculate based on the position of the earth and the movement of the sun. Then if you want to calculate astrology, it is based on the position of the earth and the stars. So always, for all practical purposes, we have to see where we are situated. There is no point looking into the sun. Where is sun situated? And related to the sun, how all the stars are, where earth is, it doesn't make any sense for any practical purposes. And that's why Vedic literature naturally presents a geocentric model. That's all. As simple as that. And even further, this model presents an alternate and detailed cosmological model beyond the current cosmological conceptions that has practical significance. Nonetheless, this model opens windows to higher realms of conscious existence. Because it's showing, you know, things which are happening which we cannot really understand. So it actually shows that, okay, there are higher beings in this universe and there are higher perspectives. Okay. So far, all clear? All good? Yeah?
Can we ask a question now? Because you mentioned that...
Maybe we need the microphone. Maybe we will deal with the questions later. Otherwise, I will not be able to complete this. Okay. Now, the sophistication of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam's presentation is sophisticated enough to hold multiple models to explain the cosmic reality. So, Srimad Bhagavatam's presentation is with multiple models. So, when it comes to, say, for example, in this verse 2 of chapter 22nd, it's talking about clockwise and anti-clockwise movement of the sun, right? It is actually putting two models together in one verse. So Bhagavatam is dealing with multiple models of the universe, and Bhagavatam presents all of them here and there. So that adds to the confusion. So if you know which model Bhagavatam is speaking about, then there is some clarity. On the other side, contradictions help to deepen the level of understanding rather than to reject the Puranic presentation as a fantasy. So when there is contradiction, try to see that, okay, there is a contradiction. There is a window to understand, okay, there are deeper realities or there are more things to understand. So in that way, we can really go into a bit more details. Now, a brief explanation about geocentric and heliocentric model I explained earlier. Even if you pick geocentric or heliocentric model, it doesn't really matter when we consider the relativistic motion in the circular fashion. So generally, in the initial scientific world, relativity was presented in linear motions. Later, it was extended to circular motions. So when you consider the relative motion in circles, it doesn't really matter. So we can consider, so the sun is there, we are rotating around the sun, or now in our situation, currently the day and night are explained based on rotation of earth on its own imaginary axis. So one day it is rotating, so we have day and night. So we can forget about it, we can fix ourselves, earth is stationary, sun is moving around the earth in a clockwise fashion. East it rises, go all the way, and you can see sun setting in the west. So simple, it's a clockwise motion. So we can see that way, and there is nothing wrong in it because the effect is all the same. So that is, we are trying to say that there is no real problem with the heliocentric or geocentric model. Then another basic issue I will deal with, that is Earth is flat or spherical. So this presentation, people living in countries at points diametrically opposite to where the sun is first seen rising will see the sun setting. And if a straight line were drawn from a point where the sun is at midday, the people in countries at the opposite end of the line would be experiencing midnight. Similarly, if people residing where the sun is setting were to go to countries diametrically opposite, they would not see the sun in the same condition. So this is from the 21st chapter of Bhagavatam, 5th canto, the previous chapter. So this is indeed presenting a spherical model. Because if you go to the opposite, then you will see the night. So here is indicating a spherical model. And also, if you see many ancient deities, where Varahadev is carrying earth and all his paintings, everywhere you can see spherical. Lakshmi Varaha temple, I used to go to Lakshmi Varaha temple when I was a young boy near my house. They are all spherical, the earth is shown spherical. So there are many descriptions of spherical earth as well. So it is not that there is no mention of spherical earth, it's everything is flat. At the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam presents the rotation of sun just above the Bhumandala. So when you see the Bhumandala approach, you can see the sun is rotating around Bhumandala, and that is showing a flat earth. And of course, there are explanations to this, multiple explanations. One is the disk explanation. So see, this as Bhumandala as a disk, and we have this planet Earth on it. So planet is spherical by nature. But if you see the size of the universe, the height of the universe, and if you see the entire planetary system here, that appears to be a disk. So that is one explanation. And another explanation, bit more scientific, which is given by Sadabhuta Prabhu in his book, is it is the ecliptic plane. Same, we are again talking about the disk, but it is the ecliptic plane. What is ecliptic plane? See, the sun and earth, the earth is in the middle and sun is a bit of a distance. And if you consider, if you see the sun has its own axis, it is tilted, right? We can see earth is tilted, or we can see in either way, but here let's consider earth is tilted and we have the sun there. Now if you mark a plane, how the orbit comes around, either earth around the sun or sun around the earth, if you consider that plane, the orbital plane, that is called the ecliptic plane. So Bhumandala, if you might have seen many pictures of Bhumandala, where you see the earth and the Jambudvip in the middle and all other dvipas and sun. So that is actually the ecliptic plane. The ecliptic plane is the plane connecting sun and the earth around its orbit. So that is the ecliptic plane. So you can see the ecliptic plane, there has to be sun, there is the earth, and in that connecting plane, that is the ecliptic plane. So in this image, you can see the ecliptic plane. So you see the sun, you can see the earth, and that's the ecliptic plane. So why it is important? It is important because many things will be based on this explanation. And if I show something, another thing we had is the explanation of the flat earth is the planisphere model. In science, we have a planisphere. Planisphere is nothing but the projection of the globe into a two-dimensional surface. So the globe becomes a circle. And so here you can see the planisphere. And please note this planisphere. In this planisphere, when you go to the southern hemisphere, they are elongated. Can you see the planisphere? It's very important to understand. So further explanation, this is going to be important in the scientific presentation, because that is the defect in the projection, right? Towards the North Pole, it will be short distance and then it will be elongated. So this is the nature of the planisphere for everyone's information, because we will be using it later, this planisphere, to explain something. Then this is just the ecliptic plane. So I explained that. So the person is standing, that is, say if I'm standing somewhere on that flat, one person is standing. And a plane you can see by the side, like a circle, that is an ecliptic plane. So in a three-dimensional fashion. So that is actually connecting, that is a plane. If you see Earth is rotating or if you see Sun is rotating, that is the plane on which this rotation is actually taking place. Clear? So that is the ecliptic plane. So these are some basic terminologies to move further. Now, let's explain the change of seasons. So in the last chapter here also we can see this change of season, isn't it? Bhagavatam, we read about the change of season, because this is the one of the important aspect of the sun, is that sun is giving the winter, summer and other seasons. No, the whole explanation was there, but in this one of the verses it was there, right? Yeah, here see, he created the seasonal qualities such as heat, cold and so on. So the description is given in the previous chapter, but here also it mentions, and it is very important to understand. The reason is Srila Prabhupada wanted us to understand how the day and night are formed, how the seasonal changes take place, and how the eclipse and all other things happen. So Prabhupada wanted everyone to understand, or according to the scientists, according to the Vedic scientists, they should understand these points based on our geocentric model. So that was Prabhupada's demand regarding this. And so we will look into the seasonal change, which is in one sense very straightforward. So here you can see, as I explained, the sun, the earth in the middle, and you can see an angle. Can you see the rotation? It's always in an angle. And now, let's see, what happens is, when, okay, so from here we can see that as the sun is going through the signs, have you heard about the signs? Yes? So there are 12 signs and each are corresponding to different months. You know, so 1 year we can see this 12 signs, and approximately a month, sun is moving from one sign to the next sign. So here, when the sun is in Capricorn, we have the shortest day. That is a winter solstice. I'll explain further. And winter solstice means shortest day in the northern hemisphere. Okay. Then as sun moves all the way through Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, etc., all the way at Gemini, when it reaches Cancer, it becomes the longest day in the northern hemisphere. And in between, in Aries, it is the equinox. So that is a spring equinox or vernal equinox. So day and night are same. I will explain how this happens. But please understand how it works. When it sun is going through, we experience sometimes that days are long, days are short. This is an observational explanation. So this anyone can know this, because there is no complexities. This explanation, no complexities. According to the month, you see that the days are longer or shorter. So anyone sitting on this earth, anyone who can observe, can see this reality. Right? So that's why there is the solstice and the equinox, where the day and night are the same, and there is the longest day and the shortest day. So this actually goes on here, and then again it goes back. So it's a rotation, you can see. From Capricorn to Cancer, it is increasing duration of the day, and from other motion, from Cancer, Leo, Virgo, etc., all the way to Capricorn, it's again decreasing. And in between there is autumnal equinox. Okay? Understandable. This is we can experience on the earth. It's for northern hemisphere. Yeah, it is completely different in the southern hemisphere. Yeah, so it's not for us. This is for north. What I described is for the northern hemisphere. This picture is for the northern hemisphere.
What is the science?
The signs of different zodiac signs.
So they're entering into
that. Said what is
that? The sign is entering.
Exactly, enter into the sign. So each sign is 30 degree. So approximately 1 month if you take, it is going through one sign and to the next. Next, I'll give you the example. On 22nd of September, a few days back, Sun entered Libra. Okay? Sun entered Libra. You can identify Libra in this chart on top. Yeah. So Sun entered Libra, 22nd of September. And that is the day it entered, that is actually the equinox in the northern hemisphere. See? And from Libra, it is going to move to Scorpio. After a month, it's going to Scorpio. Sagittarius, like that, is going to move. Clear? So after a month, you can see, I think 23rd of October, Sun will be in Scorpio. Got an idea how things are working?
Yes, it's northern hemisphere.
Yes. Yeah, it's northern hemisphere. So this is for northern hemisphere. So that is a practical explanation. And now...
Dotted line is the
travel,
the Earth movement.
Yeah, that is the ecliptic, yes. Ecliptic is the
or it's just a place at this
Sun's movement.
Yeah, Sun's movement in our case.
Sun's
movement
is the yellow.
Yeah, Sun movement is the yellow one. Yeah, that will come to that later. Yeah, I will explain ecliptic further in another picture is there. I will explain further. So far all good? So this is a basic observational explanation. So there is no, we are not adding any complexity. This is, anyone knows this. So I got this picture from the internet because it's a basic explanation. Now we'll look into some of the issues. And before getting into the issues, we want to explain day and night, varying day and night according to Vedic explanation. So here itself, if you see this image, you can see that Sun's light is not falling on the earth in equal distribution because of the angle. And now please think about a heliocentric model. That is, I assume earth is rotating. Okay? If you consider earth is rotating, now you can see that in the northern hemisphere, in this picture, sunlight is coming more, and in the southern hemisphere, sunlight is not coming. Make sense? I'm just telling the current scientific explanation. Now, you assume what will happen after 6 months. The earth will go to the opposite direction, where sunlight will come in southern hemisphere and not in northern hemisphere. Understand? So this is a very simple thing. Now, please make the heliocentric to geocentric. So this is because assuming the earth is moving. Now, if it's earth is not moving, who has to move? Sun has to move. So then it will appear that the sun is moving to the north and sun is coming to the south. That also is observational. We can see that. So actually speaking, there is no complexities. It is very simple. It's just a relativistic perception. That's all. It is very straightforward if you think in that way. And in this picture, please also look into the Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn. So that is actually showing how far you see the sun movement. Sun is going up and down, right? When you consider relativistic motion, if you don't consider that the earth is moving, the sun is moving, then you had to see that sometime sun is close to the northern hemisphere and sometimes sun is closer to southern hemisphere. So that motion, how far it can go, that is depicted by Tropic of Cancer and Tropic of Capricorn. So when the sun is at the Tropic of Cancer, one can see the longer duration of day in the northern hemisphere. And when it comes to the down to the Tropic of Capricorn, one sees longer days in southern hemisphere. So that is the summer solstice for the northern hemisphere and the winter solstice. So the day is short. And in the middle, one sees that the day and night are equal. Getting an idea? Simple. Next. So the same thing I have just given with the Tropic of Cancer, Capricorn, and in the middle, equator. And interestingly enough, Karkarekha, this is the Tropic of Cancer, it is near Bhopal. because it is going through, it's going through India, the third, you know, above the equator, the Tropic of Cancer, Cancer is going through India and it is near Bhopal. Bhopal Highway, they have drawn. Can you see on the right side? You can see that there is two lines on the street. So that is actually the Tropic of Cancer. So if you see how far the sun can move, this is far the sun can move up. That far it can go down also. So you see, this, actually it's not very complex. It is simple. Alright. It's in India, Bhopal, near Bhopal, Madhya Pradesh, right? Bhopal, if you go up, you can see this is the Tropic of Cancer. The people have put this Karka Rekha. Karka means cancer in Sanskrit, so Karka Rekha. So when sun is there, longer day we can experience in India, in all northern hemisphere. And in the North Pole, what will happen? 6 months sun, 6 months sun. So similarly, when you come down, not the Karka Rekha, the Capricorn, when it comes there, what will happen? In the northern hemisphere, 6 months darkness. So you can, you know, you can understand this, simple. Now, after knowing this, we could get into this varying day and night. Okay, this is very important. The varying, now I'm going to explain how the day and night take place and how further, a little bit more explanation about this day and night. Okay, so this is interesting. Here again, we are going back to this planisphere. So please understand, this planisphere is elongated as you move away from the center. This is very important. So please keep that in the mind. And so, since it is elongated towards the south, and since there is an angle between sun, make it show me a little bit. Yeah. And assuming that, okay, this there is a planisphere projection, and also understanding that there is an angle between the sun and the earth, because we know that an angle is there. And because of that, when we project this motion of the sun on this planisphere, it is not going to be a concentric circle. It will be an off-centric circle. Sun is moving around the sign, right? And when it is moving around the sign, it has an upward and downward motion. Southern and northern motion, which is we call it Uttarayana, Dakshinayana. So because of that, when we project that motion on the planisphere on Earth, can you understand? So that projection looks like this. In here, that off-centric circle, you can see all the signs of the zodiac. In the off-centric circle, you can see the signs of the zodiac. And it is a projection of sun's movement along with the signs on the planisphere of Earth. Get an idea? Okay, I'll explain further. I'll go back and I'll show you. So you can, in this picture, you can see that sun will be moving from Tropic of Cancer to Tropic of Capricorn. Yeah, that motion is there, has to be there. That's how the Uttarayana, Dakshinayana take place. Now you project that motion onto Earth, on the planisphere. Make sense? Now you make the planisphere of this Earth at this point, considering the motion of the sun. Then what happens? That's how we get this one.
So this is from geocentric viewpoint?
Yeah, it's all geocentric. Yeah. From geocentric viewpoint. So this is how the movement of the sun actually takes place. Because, see, it has to be off-centric. The reason is the Tropic of Cancer, Capricorn, will be elongated. It will go further. You understand? And whereas the Tropic of Cancer will be closer to the equator. So that's why you can see that off-centric circle. So this point, the bottom point of the off-centric circle, that is the Tropic of the bottom one is a Tropic of Cancer. No.
I'm looking at the south pole.
You see, don't think up and down. You see, away from the circle, away from the center, and closer to the circle. Don't think about the up down. Up down doesn't make sense here because everything is projected. So now you see, the Tropic of Cancer has to be closer to the northern pole, right? Then which is close to the north pole? that which is on the bottom. And the Tropic of Capricorn has to be away from the center, and so that is far away. Can you see? So don't think up in terms of up and down, but in terms of which is closer to the North Pole and which is away from the North Pole. So just to give an idea. Now, having explained this, why I brought it, this will actually explain, from this we can explain the variable speed of the sun, from this we can explain how the day and night take place. So I will show you, if sun is at one position here, okay, in this, you can see that, right, one is actually going like this on the zodiac sign. So depending on sun's position, you experience a particular duration of day and a particular duration of night. We already explained. Now this can be shown by this graph, picture. So when sun is here, it is called the terminator line. Terminator line is separating day and night. Simple. You see here, if sun is there, this is for the sun is closer to the northern hemisphere. Now you can see the North Pole is always in sun, you know, 6 months in sun. And then if when sun moves, it comes here, then the terminator line is equal, means day and night are equal. Can you see that?
What's the terminator?
Termination between the day and night. So previous one you see, sun is closer to the North Pole, so the North Pole is actually covered by the sunlight. And then, so 6 months, it's sun is up in the North Pole. And terminator line, the day and night are equal. And when the sun is away from the North Pole, which is Uttarayana, at the winter solstice for the North Pole, or the, northern hemisphere, then it will happen like the North Pole is dark. It's all different model, it's just an explanation of the same thing.
But this is flat earth, according to this picture.
Yeah, this is a flat earth, yes.
The planisphere,
yeah.
The sun is moving.
No, just rotating like this on top.
The sun is coming.
Oh, yeah, that takes place. But this, if you explain one day, just consider one rotation. Don't consider the movement. You don't consider other movement. No. Yeah. Slowly it is coming like that. But don't consider at this point.
So basically, it's rotating or gradually coming to outer like that?
Yeah. And then again going inside. Going, coming out and going inside. So you can see, so for a time, just consider one rotation. So you can see Australia when it is, night in a other part of the world, opposite, or India, America easier. When India is day, America is dark, like that we can understand. See, so that is because of this rotation. You know, sun is rotating, so this terminator line is also rotating. And you can see, sun and moon, day and night is coming and going in different countries. So that is depicted by this.
The planisphere is there, but it's flat and there is no light.
No, it's showing a flat earth. That's right, yeah.
Then how the rays of the sun is actually terminated, because that's what the rays is
covered. No, because this is planisphere, so there is no point. It's actually three-dimensional, right? So this model is two-dimensional, so you cannot explain that with this model. That's all. Yeah. So you cannot explain everything with the given model. Some of them can be. All right. Now, let's explain the variable speed of sun. So here we read this verse 5:22-7. The sun god has three speed: slow, fast, and moderate. The time he takes to travel entirely around the sphere of the heaven, earth, and space at these three speeds is referred to by learned scholars by the five names. Okay, the Samvatsara, Prativatsara, Idavatsara, Anivatsara, and Vatsara. So, how can we understand the three speeds of the sun? From a scientific model, it is not very difficult to understand. Okay. Just go to this picture.
So, is it the perception of the speed, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually the perception of the speed. So, sun is traveling in the same speed. But what Bhagavatam is speaking is the perception of the speed. The speed as it's experienced, if you go to the scientific model of planisphere, it is very obvious that if you go to the away from the center, because planisphere is elongated, sun has to travel fast. Right? When it is coming to the middle, it has to travel in a moderate speed, and when it is closer to the pole, to the center of this picture, then it has to travel fast. Sorry, travel slower, because it's a short distance. It is represented by a short distance, so it has to travel slower. So it is only a perception of the reality. Sun is traveling in the same speed, but when we are projecting using a planisphere, then we see that, okay, it is traveling in variable speed. Make sense? This is very simple, isn't it? So now I want to make things very simple. And so, seeing this picture, you can understand, during Dakshinayana, sun is away from the center. Right? See the image? Sun will be away from the center. Yeah, sure, here we go. You see the cursor in Dakshinayana, when sun is farthest from the northern hemisphere at the Tropic of Capricorn, and touching that point, what happens? You get all the light in the southern hemisphere, because it is closer to the southern hemisphere. At that point, since this planisphere is elongated, sun has to travel faster, or appears to travel faster because of this planisphere. Because otherwise, how can it cover the whole thing in 1 year, for example, right? So it appears to travel fastest at this point, as it's shown by this cursor. And then if you go further, the speed of the sun is decreasing, and here it is becoming the moderate speed. Then it is decreasing further, and when it comes to Uttarayana in the northern hemisphere, so there the sun is right on top of the Tropic of Cancer. I showed you the Karkareka about India. And then what happens? That point, the sun appears to travel slowest. The reason is our map is short distance, so it has to cover that area, because the time has to be the same. It's not that the month can change. 1 month has to be the same in northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere. So to adjust that time, it looks like the sun is traveling slow, and that is explained in this verse 7.
So these three concentric circles is Cancer, Equator and Capricorn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All good. And the top small one looks like the that is the polar thing, you know, so this is not really good. So all good? Yeah.
And what about the day and night? Sun that is like the travel for 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year, yeah.
When day and night the sun is there in the Capricorn.
Yes, so what happens during the day? Okay, this is an important point to understand as well. During the day, what happens if you are sitting here in Australia, wherever, you look into the eastern horizon. So when sun is rising, or let's go to the northern hemisphere better. So sun is rising from the eastern direction, and there will be a star behind the sun. So what is this? The star means, don't get confused, I'll show you. Here we are talking about star means constellations. So they are all constellations. They are like the backdrop of the universe. So all these constellations are there, and the sun is moving. If we were sitting in Earth, what we see? Sun is attached to one constellation. Say currently, sun has entered Libra in the northern hemisphere, 22nd of September. So you see that the Virgo constellation in back in the sky, and sun is much, much nearer to us. And so, when the eastern horizon, what happens, maybe you can show me, I'm explaining here. So, what happens, say, in the eastern horizon, when the constellations are here and the sun is here. So, you see that when you look in the morning, you see one constellation behind the sun, but we cannot see because of the sunlight. And it actually goes all the way up like that. And if you go to the west, and finally, it is setting, sun is setting. And the constellation, that constellation is going. Similarly, all the constellation you can see rotating along with the sun. But as the month changes, when you look into the sky in the morning, then it will not be that kind of constellation. So currently you may see Libra, then next you may see Scorpio after a month. So there is a relative motion between the constellations or the zodiac signs and the sun as well. Yeah. Yes, it's part of the Kala Chakra. Yes, it is. So, two motions we had to understand. So, because the sun is moving around the earth on a daily basis, so that causes day and night, according to Vedic literature. And since the sun is moving around the zodiac signs, that causes the change in seasons. So, they both are explained based on that. Now I'll explain based on the, this is a bit of a scientific explanation which we can understand. Now what Bhagavatam speaks further? Bhagavatam explains, we can show that. Bhagavatam shows sun's chariot. The chariot of the sun god has only one wheel. And many of you have seen that picture, which is known as Samvatsara. The 12 months are calculated to be its 12 spokes. The six seasons are the sections of each rim, and the three Chaturmasya periods are the three sections, the hub. One side of the axle carrying the wheel rests upon the summit of Mount Meru, and the other rests upon the Manasatara mountain. Affixed to the outer end of the axle, the wheel continuously rotates on Manasatara mountain like the wheel of an oil pressing machine. It was from the previous chapter. So what this is saying is, there are actually one more thing we had to consider in here. One is, one axis is on the Mount Meru, one is on the pole star. So one is on the Mount Meru, one on the Mount Meru, one on the pole star, and both are connecting to the sun.
One connecting to the
polar star. One is pole star connection, one is a connection from the Mount Meru, and the wheel is resting on the Manasatara mountain. So that one single wheel is rotating around the Bhumandala. This is the Bhagavatam presentation. And now, according to Puranic explanation, how this Uttarayana and Dakshinayana comes, how the day and night changes. So that is explained based...
So the Vedic says that, you know, the all the various spokes and rim and everything, is it allegorical?
Yeah, it's allegorical. Pretty much allegorical. Yeah. It's not visible as such. So we had to under subtle. We cannot really see that. And now I will explain another explanation of this shorter day and longer day. Again, based on Puranic understanding. So here, I already explained the variable space based on planisphere, where the sun is moving, and that I explained. Now, Puranic explanation is, this is the path of wheel on the Manasatara mountain. So there are multiple tracks on the Manasatara mountain. So what happens is, during Uttarayana, this wheel is coming inside. So coming closer to Mount Meru. And during Dakshinayana, it is going outside. So it is changing tracks. So when it is at the middle, day and night are equal. So when it's taking the center path, day and night are equal. And then the sun is traveling in moderate speed. And when it's coming closer, then the day increases. Because we are entering Uttarayana. And since it is coming closer, if you consider the rotation, if you consider the same angular velocity, you understand, the same angular velocity, and if you are closer to the center point, then the aerial velocity has to be more. Sorry, has to be less. You know, if you have two things are rotating, if I had to keep up the same thing, you can show me. Show here, yeah. If your two things are rotating, that which is closer to the center has to move slower, whereas that which is further has to move faster to keep up the same angular velocity. You can experiment to keep up the same angular velocity. I can myself feel in it when I'm moving. I can see that I had to do a little bit of rotation from my this hand, but this one I had to move faster. See? So similarly, when the wheel is closer to the center, what happens? It is slowing down. And when it's going away from the center, it is moving faster. So that is another explanation of this variable speed of sun as we read in verse 7.
But with this explanation, doesn't it prove that Earth is flat?
Yeah, this is a flat Earth explanation. We are dealing with many models, so we had to deal with all the models. We cannot do much about it.
Again, trying to understand, with
the
Earth around
and
Dakshinayana, is it because
of
elliptical?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Is that
what it's coming. So now, explanation of Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. Variable speed is explained in couple of ways. Now I'll get into the Uttarayana Dakshinayana a little bit more. So here, in this, I'll make it a little bigger, and I'll just try to show you from, not projection,
cursor.
Yeah, cursor, with cursor I'll show you. So here you can see the, relative to the Earth, which you can see here as a circle, Sun is moving southwards and northwards. When Sun is moving southwards, it is called Dakshinayana. So you can see it is moving all the way till the Tropic of Capricorn and up all the way up till the Tropic of Cancer. And this movement we call it as Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. And based on that, we experience equinox and different solstices. Right? Clear? Any question from anyone?
You mentioned equinox and solstices. What is it?
Equinox is day and night are the same, that is equinox. And solstice, summer solstice for the northern hemisphere means the longest day, and winter solstice means shortest day. So I was explaining that from the right from the beginning.
Yeah,
I'll get to that again one more time. So is that clear? So that Uttarayana, Dakshinayana clear, and the upward and the southward movement of the sun is clear? Alright. Now we'll deal with the next contradiction or a difficult point to understand. That is two kinds of rotations of the sun. So here, this is the first verse of this chapter. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, you have already affirmed the truth that the supremely powerful sun god travels around Dhruvaloka with both Dhruvaloka and Mount Sumeru on his right." So that is talking about clockwise direction. "Yet at the same time, the sun god faces sign of the zodiac and keeps Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on his left. How can you reasonably accept the sun god proceeds with Sumeru and Dhruvaloka on both his left and right simultaneously?" So here two motions of sun are mentioned. One is clockwise and another is anti-clockwise. So how can we explain? It is very simple. One, you sit here and see how the sun is moving. So assume you are closer to Mount Meru, right? We are all closer to Mount Meru because Earth. We are in the Jambudvip. And so, you see, clockwise, sun is moving. Sun is rising in the eastern direction and going all the way to the west. So it is a clockwise movement of the sun. So that is creating day and night. Then, what is anti-clockwise movement? That is the motion of the sun relative to the zodiac. It is the rotation of the sun relative to the zodiac. So if you consider, I'll explain. See this.
It's slower than the zodiac. The solar, Kalachakra and Sun come together, but the Kalachakra is, the movement of the Sun is referring to Kalachakra.
But if you compare zodiac and Sun,
it means
faster. Sun
is faster.
Well, if the same is speed, Kalachakra is faster, but its Sun is 1 degree less.
Yes. Yes, so that's the relative motion that is mentioned here. So here, the answer is given, when a potter wheel is moving and small ants are located on that big wheel. So there's a potter wheel rotating. So that is compared to the Kala Chakra, or the zodiac, the Kala Chakra, that is one. And the ant is compared to sun. So what happens is, if the potter wheel is rotating faster than the ant's movement, then it can look like that the ant is going backwards. Yes.
Less.
Yes, it is 1 degree.
Sun, it's less.
One degree less.
From from the point of view of the zodiac. They see the sun.
That's right. It's from the point of view of the zodiac. So that way it looks like sun is going backwards with respect to the zodiac. So that's where when the Potter wheel is the whole Kala Chakra, and then the so here is mentioned the sun and the planet, however, say similarly the signs of the constellation with Sumeru Dhruloka on the right move with the wheel of time, and the ant-like sun on the planets move with them. The sun and planets, however, are seen in the different signs and constellations at different times, right? We explained that already. This indicates that their motion is different from that of the zodiac and the wheel of time itself. So it can be reconciled by stating constellation are Potter's wheel and the sun is compared to an ant, right? If we consider the earth as stationary ant, then the movement of the sun, planets and stars around the earth or Meru is clockwise fashion. First I explained. Then if we assume the static nature of the stars, so here stars means the constellations. So if we assume the static nature of the sun, the stars, then the sun's yearly rotation around the Meru is anticlockwise. It looks like that. You understand? So this is again two different perceptions. Yeah, the point of observation. That's why we can see the multiple models present in the same verse, and that makes it complicated. Finally, so here now you can make a more sense about, out of it. That you can see how the sun is going through different signs. And so if you see, the sun is actually moving, if you consider the signs, the sun is moving in anticlockwise. See, Aries, if you start from Aries, first is Aries, then is Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. This is the rotation. This is how the month changes, basically. The science changes like that. Now, if you see this, you can clearly see it is an anticlockwise rotation, right? But if you see the rotation around the Earth, that is clockwise. So, both can be depicted with this. And from this, we can understand how there are different days and night based on the movement of the sun up or down. And we can understand the solstices, equinox, and variable speed of the sun. So, basically, that concludes this presentation. Any questions? Yeah? You can pass the mic.
With the ant going backwards, looks like it's going backwards. Whether it's going clockwise or anti-clockwise, Meru is always in the right hand side. On the Potter's wheel.
I know if you see the direction, if you see anticlockwise, the motion, if you see anticlockwise, then we are talking from the perspective where we are not talking about which direction ant is looking. You understand? We are not. If your logic is based on which direction ant is facing, based on left or right, we are not talking about that.
I'm saying if we look from the outside of the Potter's wheel as a third person, the ant is either going slow or fast.
No, ant is going either clockwise or anticlockwise. Only two ways ant can move. Either it has to be clockwise or anticlockwise. Because of the relative motion, it looks like anticlockwise. And when it is anticlockwise, ant doesn't look like going like this, going like that. You understand? No, it will not be. So if you see anti-clockwise motion, then how can you say that? Don't look into right and left. Understand it is clockwise or anti-clockwise. Then just try to figure out how it is the right or left. If you understand clockwise and anti-clockwise, then you understand. Your point of Mount Meru is on the right is based on you are fixing the direction of the ant. So you are assuming that ant is facing one direction. Then it always has to be this direction. That's where you are looking at. But that's not the way Bhagavatam is presenting. Make sense?
Especially because the perspective is from the zodiac.
Yes.
If you see from the zodiac that it's moving with Kala Chakra, the zodiac doesn't have movement, but because it's sitting in the Kala Chakra that is moving, the speed is more than the end. So you see it's moving, you see the end is going back. Because it's moving constantly. So, from that perspective, you see opposite
So, the Madhuri, the point is, you see the, when you see the clockwise, anti-clockwise, if you can understand, then the right left is not a major issue.
But in the verse it's written right and left.
Yeah, that is based on the clockwise, and that our understanding about is clockwise and anti-clockwise. If you understand clockwise, anti-clockwise, then you can understand. Yeah.
So one is, in the beginning you mentioned that all these explanations given by the sages that can or that is coming from the heaven, like they have more heavenly perspectives.
Yeah.
So then how is it relevant for us studying it in here? But that was my original question.
How it is relevant? Because otherwise, if you cannot understand anything out of it, one can reject it completely. So at least we need to know that there are higher perspectives, higher consciousness is very important for us to understand that there are other beings who are more intelligent than us. Otherwise, how are you going to accept even God?
It's one of the first enlightened answering that question, because when Rose said, from the objective point of view, for us, it's better to know from where we are to see how it fits. But because from this presentation, we are able to see the higher perceptions, that's opening the vision for us to different realities. In that sense, is the benefit. It's one of the slides that we put it there.
Yeah.
The second.
Yeah.
Another one I was thinking, you know, because we have the modern scientific explanations, like many of these and our perspectives, and then we have the Vedic perspective and SML like contradictions. So then because of the models and the
different perceptions, yeah.
Yeah. So then when we're trying to reconsider, then you have to understand both of them together to understand the full.
Yeah, to some degree. It's not that we can understand full, but at least something. We can understand everything from this. Something we can understand. According to the level of curiosity, we can understand and leave it. And some devotees say, you know, fifth canto, just read it. Don't ask any questions, just read and finish. Go. So that is also okay. Chant Hare Krishna. Our philosophy is not, you know, how the equinox is happening, all stuff doesn't matter. Just chant Hare Krishna. So depending on one's level of curiosity, intelligence, understand. If not understand, that's okay. Krishna is going to go away at the time of the death, you know. Vedic cosmology, that's not going to happen. So think about Krishna. It's not for meditation. Understand and leave it. Have some faith. That's it. Okay?
Can you maybe elaborate, like, why Krishna created it so complicated? why does it have to be so complicated, like the whole, all of this?
The reason is because the living entities have unlimited desires, so Krishna has to fulfill all those desires. So he has to do everything. He has to create the whole this complicated material world because the living entities have unlimited complicated desires. So what can he do? He needs to create all the planet system to accommodate all different shades of consciousness. But what to do? Think about Krishna. He can do. He has inconceivable power. But think about him, you know. He doesn't want anything. He wants everyone to be in the spiritual world. But he had to do all this because we want it. That's another point. It is simple. Even for forget about Krishna, even if you think about the heavenly residents, it's not very complicated because they have written these perspectives without much of a problem. Even if you see Sukadeva Goswami, he's just speaking in the middle of the forest in Naimisharanya. There are no notes, there are no, you know, explanation, there is no PowerPoint. Nothing, he's just telling, you know, this, and Parikshit Maharaj is also understanding, he's asking questions and he's getting the answer and he's understanding everything. After if I show this whole thing, I don't know how many people understood. That is the next question. So, different intelligence. We are not very intelligent. Okay, I think we'll conclude already. Okay. Thank you very much. Grandhra Srimad Bhagavatam Kinyashila Prabhupada Ki Jai.